You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
IRN USA News, I'm Mark Thomas. With a deadline to avert a government shutdown approaching, the U.S. Capitol was quiet on Sunday as Republicans and Democrats waited for the other side to blink first and break the impasse over funding. The Republican-controlled House of Representatives early on Sunday passed a measure that ties government funding to a one-year delay of President Barack Obama's landmark health care restructuring law. Senate Democrats have vowed to quash it. A small business jet landing at Santa Monica Airport in California swerved off the runway and struck a nearby hangar before apparently catching on fire. There were no immediate reports of casualties. Federal Aviation Administration spokesman Ian Greger said the twin-engine Cessna Citation, which departed from Haley, Idaho, went off the right side of the runway after landing at the airport at 6:20 p.m. local time. There was no information on the number of people aboard the aircraft or their conditions. The Cessna Citation family of jets have a seating capacity for between 5 and 9 people. This is IRN USA News.
You've had 60 some odd years to prepare for this moment. 60 some odd years that added up to a squishy, squashy backyard squirt gun battle. And it's here, in this healthy little water war with your grandkids, that the question hits you. How did I get here? Is it just living in moderation or saving with gusto? Like getting 20% off your Rite Aid purchases every first Wednesday of the month with Rite Aid's new Wellness 65 Plus. 20% off Wednesdays help seniors save big on water guns and everything else. Wellness 65 Plus also lets you accumulate points for every prescription, even Medicare, that earn you up to 20% off your Rite Aid purchases fast. It's one more way Rite Aid is helping you stay here, now that you've actually gotten here. Here, soaking wet and slinking through your own rose bushes. Stop by your Rite Aid, enroll free, and save this Wednesday with Wellness 65 Plus. With us, it's personal. Certain limitations apply. See your Rite Aid store or RiteAid.com for details.
A published report says the NSA planted bugs at Indian missions in Washington, D.C. and at the United Nations. More now from correspondent Sean Scott Ferguson.
The permanent mission of India at the United Nations and the embassy in Washington, D.C. were targets of such sophisticated bugs implanted by the U.S. National Security Agency that entire computer hard disks might have been copied by the American agency. The UN mission building in New York and the embassy premises, including its annex in Washington, were on a top-secret list of countries and missions, many of them European allies of the US, chosen for intensive spying. According to a top-secret NSA document obtained by The Hindu, the NSA selected India's UN office and the embassy as location target for infiltrating their computers and telephones with high-tech bugs which might have given them access to vast quantities of internet traffic, emails, telephone and office conversations, and even official documents stored digitally.
For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Grace Trey aspires to more than just singing at her church. But when you chase your dream, you sometimes have to choose between what you want and who you really are.
I don't think your problems are just with your dad. I think maybe you're fighting God. Just stop running.
Grace Unplugged, starring A.J. Mashaka and James Denton. Greg Smalley, A Focus on the Family, calls Grace Unplugged a moving and meaningful film that parents and teens should see together. In theaters this Friday. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. More information available at graceunplugged.com.
Another problem is affecting the rollout of the president's health care overhaul. More now from correspondent Precious Watson.
Due to an oversight in the Affordable Care Act, hundreds of thousands of children could possibly be left without health insurance. USA Today reports that Obamacare caps the cost of affordable coverage at no more than 9.5% of family income. Individuals with employer-provided coverage and their families cannot get subsidized coverage through state health exchanges. However, the section of the health care law dealing with employer-mandated coverage only applies to the employee. If a company chooses not to offer family benefits, millions of children and families could be forced into exchanges but would be ineligible for subsidies. With IRN USA News, I'm Precious Watson.
In international news, Egyptian security sources said gunmen killed three policemen in Egypt's volatile Sinai Peninsula on Monday, and an Islamist militant group released a video of an earlier drive-by shooting of an army colonel. Security sources confirmed that gunmen had killed the colonel on August 14th on a desert highway near the Suez Canal city of Ismailia. The Sinai has become a major security headache for the Egyptian authority since the army overthrew elected President Mohamed Morsi of the Muslim Brotherhood in July. Almost daily attacks by al-Qaeda-inspired militants have killed more than 100 members of the security forces since Morsi's ouster. Instability there worries Western governments because the peninsula borders Israel and flanks the strategic Suez Canal. I'm Mark Thomas. This is IRN USA News.
And the weather out there today is going to be a high of 75, mostly sunny, and a low of 49. On Tuesday, a high of 79 and a low of 54. A high of 83 on Wednesday. Summer's back with a low of 56, a high of 80 on Thursday, and a high of 79 on Friday. Clear skies all the way through and into the weekend. It is currently 63 degrees at 11:07. Stay tuned for the Rotary Show right after this message.
The weather is brought to you by Bedard, Kurowicki and Company. In today's fast-paced, deadline-driven business climate, Bedard Kowicki & Company is known as the certified public accounting firm that takes the time to understand its clients. We believe that having a deep knowledge of our clients and their business is the foundation for providing value-added, proactive accounting, tax, and business services. Call us at 908-782-7900 or visit our website at www.bkc-cpa.com.
Good morning and welcome to the Rotary Hour. This is Past District Governor Megan Jones Holt covering Central New Jersey, which encompasses Hunterdon, Middlesex, Mercer, Union, and Somerset counties. Locally, I'm a member of the Clinton Sunrise Club here in beautiful Hunterdon County. This show is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what is Rotary, and we're here each week to impart our knowledge on to you. Hope everyone out there is having a great day. God, what a gorgeous weekend it was. It was really packed full of so many things to do. I actually did a little event hopping on Saturday. Yes, I'm hopping again, which is great. I hit three different places. I felt like I was a district governor again, going everywhere. And they were all in Hunterdon County. But we're going to get out of Hunterdon County, and we're going to go into Somerset County next weekend. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We are chilling with Operation Chill Out, and it's one of Rotary's partners who will be participating in Saturday's upcoming event. It's going to be a Military Veterans Appreciation Day, and it's going to be a special event to recognize veterans, and it's going to be held at the Central New Jersey Airport, which is on Millstone Road. So I know it's all over Facebook, if you're into Facebook. And we're going to be talking a little bit about one of the organizations that's a partner, and that's, as I mentioned, Operation Chill Out, and they're here in the studio. But before we get into that, we're going to span the district, and we're going to tell you a little bit what's going on. We got a lot going on. It's summer is definitely over, because that's when the Rotary Clubs all gear back up and doing a lot of their fundraisers and events. So let's look at the district governor's visits. Tomorrow is October the 1st. I can't believe it's already October the 1st. I feel like a 10-year-old kid. It's flying by. But the district governor's first visit this week is going to be Wednesday, and he is going to be at the Plainfield, North Plainfield Club for lunch, and then he will be at the Hillsboro Club for dinner at Pheasant Landing Restaurant. On Thursday the 3rd, he's going to be in Union at the Suburban Golf Club, And then the following Monday, the 7th, at the Summit New Providence Cub. So there's a lot going on with that. Just want to give all you district governor, past district governors, a heads up. Wednesday the 9th, if you haven't seen it yet, at 6:30 is the next College of Governors. So mark your calendars. In addition to the Saturday event we have going on the district, we have on Sunday a district-wide walk for autism in Central New Jersey. And it's got a lot of activities and planned for that, including entertainment and refreshment and a lot of community resources for the fair. That's going to be held at, as I said, Mercer County Community College, which is on Old Trenton Road in West Windsor. And it starts at 10 with check-in for the walkers. The fair opens at 10, entertainment and refreshments as well. There's going to be a 11:40 program, and at 12 o'clock, the 1.5 mile starts. If you want more information on it, you can go to walknowforautismspeaks.org/CNJ. Then the Hillsborough Club is having their annual golf outing on Monday the 7th. That's an early one. It's at 7 o'clock. And that is going to be held at the Hopewell Valley Country Club. And they're raising money for a local boy who is fighting brain cancer. So that's going to be a great event and for a good cause. Also on the 7th is our district, well, actually, it's not district-wide. It is statewide. It's a multi-district vocational assembly. And we are the only district that does a multi-district vocational assembly, so you should go out and support it because we get some really great people at that event. Our incoming 2014-15 RI president will be there, Gary Hung. Also, Joe Conley, who is a CBS radio business reporter. Maybe we ought to tell him about our show and get him to come on it. Or get me to come on his show, better yet. We also have the State Chamber's CEO, Tom Bracken. He will be speaking as well. So that's always fun. It starts at 2:30 and with the speakers, and then it goes into a dinner with the RI president as the keynote. The Rotary Club of Clinton Sunrise is holding their 50-50 raffle. All the proceeds are going to build a fitness trail in Clinton. And it's a great benefit to the residents and surrounding area. The cost is only $10 a ticket, and you will win a minimum guaranteed of $1,000. Lambertville Club is holding their citrus sale. This is they have Texas Red Ruby grapefruits and navel oranges for sale. That starts Tuesday the 8th, and it goes through the 22nd of November. The Greenbrook Donnellan Club is having a comedy night, and that's going to be on October the 15th. The Somerville Bridgewater Club is having a Halloween pancake breakfast on the 20th at Martinsville Inn. And the Club of Branchburg on the 25th of October from 6 to 11 at Raritan Valley Community College is having a basket bingo night. We have another pancake breakfast by the Rotary Club of Flemington, and that is on the 26th, being held at Hunter and Central. And they also have a kids expo with that at 7 to 1. And the Somerville Bridgewater Club is doing a blood drive and breast cancer awareness event at the Somerville Elks on Union Avenue in Bridgewater, and that is on October the 28th. And just to give you a heads up, going into November, on the 4th is our annual Eat, Drink, and Share event, which will be held in Edison at the Pines Manor. So lots are going on. If you have something going on and you didn't hear about your club activity being mentioned, then make sure it's on our calendar or give me a shout and I'll be more than happy to announce it. We're going to take a real quick break right now. And when we come back, we're going to start our show off, and we're going to do a little chillin' with Operation Chill Out. In the meantime, during the break, you can go on, take a look at our website, which is rotarynj.org, and sign up for some of the different things that are happening that I just mentioned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation and all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
Are you tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Hey, welcome back. This is Past District Governor Megan Jones Holt with the Rotary Hour. I was just reminded at the break because our guest asked me, how long have I been doing this show? And it has been 2 years. This is our two-year anniversary. Yoo-hoo! So it's been a fun 2 years, I will admit. And I know our listenership has increased because you're all out there cheering us on. So here we go. Happy two-year anniversary to us. So today, as I mentioned before, we have a show that really is all about partnerships with Rotary. And today we have Ray Chmielewski. Did I do that okay?
Pretty good.
And he is here with Operation Chill Out. And we're going to learn a little bit about Operation Chill Out. And we're going to learn a little bit about what they have to do with Rotary. So good morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Megan. It's good to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
And I know you came a long way to get here.
Actually, Califon was a lovely drive down 523 this morning.
Califon is another Hunterdon County town. We just like to keep it here all in the family. No, I'm kidding. We do spread it out over all of our districts. So Operation Chill Out isn't just in Hunterdon County. It's everywhere. So why don't you just kind of tell us a little about Operation Chill Out and what they do and where they go.
Thank you. We're not everywhere. We need to say that in the beginning, but we're getting there. We're getting close, yeah. In the middle of December in the year 2000, I saw a story in the Star Ledger, the Newark Star Ledger, about a homeless veteran living under a trestle on Route 46 in Dover. And we were having breakfast, a couple of my buddies in Long Valley, and we were passing the paper around. We said, look at this. This is really outrageous. Somebody else says, I don't think that's real. I think somebody made that story up just to get people going. We said, well, let's go find out. So we took a ride up to the police station in Dover. We showed them the paper. They said, oh, yes, this is real. Would you like us to show you where the men are? And we looked at each other saying, man, I thought this is about one person. He says, no, there's a few others there. So we took a ride just right past the police station on Route 46. It was a diner. The intersection has been all renovated now. But underneath the diner was the New Jersey Transit. And in the cleft of the underpinnings of the trestle, in the rocks, were three Vietnam-era veterans living there, homeless. this is the year 2000. This is almost 14 years ago. And we were very surprised, and they were a little curious about why we were there. So we showed them the story. They had a copy of the story because when it was in the papers, the reporter who did it made sure that they got copies. And we said, how did you become homeless, and what can we do for you? Each of the three men told very, very similar but very personal stories about serving in Vietnam, having been injured either physically or psychologically. Mm-hmm. And then almost 40 years later, their problems became from the background to the foreground. And their concentration, their focus became compromised. They got flashbacks. They have what we now understand as PTSD,
right.
Post-traumatic stress disorder. They remembered that when they were in Vietnam and the incoming shelling would come, that they had a survival instinct. They were trained very well to do one thing, and that's duck for cover. And what they did is they grabbed their weapon, the M16 rifle, and their rucksack, their knapsack, their mm-hmm. backpack, and then they ran to shelter. They said that sometimes here in Dover, many, many decades later, they sometimes feel that they're back in Vietnam. They'll hear a noise. They'll have a flashback. Some rough kids might come and try to roust them about. And they run. And they run down the railroad tracks until they're physically exhausted. And then they come back to focus and attention and find out that they're safe. And then they slowly walk back. And they say, we need something to keep our warm clothing in, a backpack, a knapsack. We decided that we could help. We went to an Army-Navy store, and we filled up three used Army surplus knapsacks with new clothing. Everything that you and I might need for a cold day outside the house, heavy socks, pair of long johns, or they call them thermals now, a hooded sweatshirt, gloves, a cap, a scarf, some basic toiletries like hand cream, little travel size of toothpaste, toothbrush, soap, shampoo, very, very simple. And this all fit into the size of a small backpack. And when we got back, to our normal lives, it was only 2 weeks before Christmas. And after the Christmas break, people got back together again, and we were sharing stories, what you did on your Christmas vacation, on your Christmas break. And my two friends and myself says, well, we helped a couple of homeless veterans living under a trestle. And people had a lot of questions about that. Where do they live? How do they get there? How could a veteran be living homeless in the state of New Jersey, in this very affluent part of our state? And we told them the story that the men had told us. And a woman in the group said, Ray, when was that? What was the date? I said, let's see. Okay. I counted back in my mind. And I said, it was December 21st. And she gasped. She said, you know what the significance of that date is? I says, no, I have no idea, Mary. Tell me. She says, that's the winter solstice. Mm-hmm. That's the darkest day of the year. And then every day after that, until the spring solstice, it gets lighter by 1 minute. So you brought hope to people in their darkest hours and gave them hope 1 minute a day until the spring came. We thought that was a wonderful metaphor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
really.
Wasn't it? I get chills up and down my spine even just retelling that story because it's so touching. And she said, well, you're not going to stop, are you? I said, what do you mean stop? This was, a one-time thing. She said, I think you need to, check this out. And we did. So that was December 21st, the year 2000. Here we are now it's going to be October 1st, 2013, and we're in 14 New Jersey counties and 3 Pennsylvania counties. We've grown by leaps and bounds where we had never even thought of forming an organization. It was just 3 friends. We are now a 501c3 not-for-profit corporation. We were doing an audit just a few weeks ago for our books, and one of the accountant's son is a math major. He's actually a whiz at math. And he did some extrapolations with the numbers of the people that we have served over these 13 years. And he told his dad, tell Deacon Ray that the number of people they served would be a circle whose perimeter is 5 miles long. And just that vision of how many people holding hands in a circle mm-hmm. that is 5 miles, again, it's one of those breathtaking moments. Wow. There's over 10,000 people that we have served. 1 out of 5 of those people are veterans, as we know, living in New Jersey, homeless, many of whom have the same presenting problems as those 3 men in Dover in year 20, in the year 2000.
You're not in Dover?
We still go to Dover.
Okay.
And
are those men still there?
Those three men have passed on. Either they have passed away, mm-hmm. or they have been taken into other shelter care. They're no longer there because of the renovation of that piece of the roadway.
Okay.
There is very much changed. But from those three men that we saw 13 years ago, when we do our winter deliveries at a local soup kitchen, which is only a quarter of a mile away from that location, we need to bring supplies for 100 homeless people. 100 people go to the soup kitchen 6 days a week right there in Dover, right down the hill from where we met these three men. So the problem has only gotten larger.
Is that because... has it really gotten larger, or is it you're just more aware of it?
No, we used to see Vietnam-era veterans. Now, these are men my age and older, in their 60s and late 60s, and some actually in their 70s, depending on when they went into service. That was the veteran group that we saw. When we were delivering our summer outreach, cases of water, T-shirts, baseball caps, bug spray, sunglasses, things like that, to our 14 county locations. Just in Morristown, just, you know, a 20-25 minute ride from here, we saw veterans in their 20s.
So they're coming from the most recent.
That's mm-hmm. right. They're coming from Iraq and Afghanistan. That was unheard of. When we first started, we never saw a woman veteran. Now we see one out of every 10 veterans mm-hmm. that we see is a woman veteran.
Yeah.
And sometimes a woman veteran who's a single mother with children living mm-hmm. on the street or living in a temporary arrangement. So, yes, it's a little bit of both. People are more sensitive to the issue now. And there are more people on the street because the economic conditions don't sustain livelihoods for many of these men who are very, very tenuous in terms of their job situation to begin with.
How are you reaching the veterans, the homeless veterans who are not affiliated with an area that has a soup kitchen?
Well, that's interesting, Megan. We do what we call street sweeps. Now, if anybody is a law enforcement officer or have background in that, you know what that means. That means that you pick a high crime district and you go out and you do what used to be called the dragnet. You would actually bring in suspects and interview them and find out who the perpetrators are for the different criminal activities going on in an area. It's now called a street sweep. We use that in a very positive sense. We go out into impoverished areas where we have gotten a phone call or a tip, either on our website or on our telephone lines, saying that I see a homeless man on a regular basis, and in talking with him, it sounds like he might have been a veteran. We actually go into the streets, into the communities, and make ourselves known. Many of our volunteers are veterans themselves. And young veterans, actually, I have a man in his early 30s who just came back. He's a Marine who just came back from Afghanistan, who's one of our strongest supporters of Operation Chill Out. Again, only in it for a very short period of time. But the work that he does and the connection that he has, especially with the young veterans, is very, very formidable. Nobody does it better than him. So we find veterans where you would not expect people to be living, mm-hmm. Under bridges like we did in Dover, in back alleys as we do in Patterson, in abandoned buildings as we do in some parts of Sussex County, in open fields, in little tent cities mm-hmm. down on riverbanks. Again, not every homeless person that we meet and serve are veterans, but statistically we're seeing about one out of five are. So there were yeah. ever other homeless people gravitate mm-hmm. and meet. There's safety in numbers. There's always safety in numbers. A lot of people say, well, why don't they just go to a shelter? Well, there are many counties that don't have shelters.
Right.
And the shelters that they have are not equipped for long-term residency. It's usually just overnight and several days a year. For example, the Market Street Mission in Morristown has a wonderful program. It's been operating for over a century, literally. But you can't stay there more than 30 days and no more than 2 days in a row. So you're back on the street every morning. You have a place to stay. You have a cot, and you can take a shower, and then you can have a breakfast. You're back on the street again. So many of the men use those types of facilities. But if you could only use it for a couple of very select days a year, you as the person has to determine, is this going to be my worst day? Is this going to be the coldest day? Is this going to be the rainiest day? And you never know.
Yeah.
So they form little pocket communities mm-hmm. that watch each other's back. And they all have the military ethic of serving each other. You know, Rotary and our homeless veterans have a lot in common. And one of the things that we find is their dedication of service above self. Your Rotary motto. We see veterans helping older Vietnam veterans, helping the younger guys, taking them, quote, under their wing, making sure that they're protected, making sure that if they experience active PTSD, that they go for help, that they go for the police, they go for the emergency squads to come and service them. The word of mouth is on the street that Operation Chill Out puts its money where its mouth is. And when we encounter a homeless veteran who's ready to go to the next step of their journey of being homeless and may need their Veterans Administration benefits or may need a medical checkup or may need a temporary detox location for a drug or an alcohol habit, they know that Operation Chill Out is going to be there with them. Since we're volunteer, no one has compensation in our organization. Nobody is on salary, and nobody's reimbursed for our time and expenses. That's a lot different than what they experience in the social service system, where people are 9-to-5ers, essentially. Mm-hmm. So they do a wonderful job. I'm not here to say that if you're a professional, you do better or less better work than Chill Out. But the one thing that we do that they don't do is respond when we get the call. So if it's a Saturday, if it's a Sunday night, if it's early in the morning, we will make the first contact. We're very, very much like first responders.
Mm-hmm.
And once we have assessed the situation and the homeless veteran thinks that there might be something worthwhile for him or her to pursue, we're going to stick with them until we accomplish that goal. Our goal as an outreach organization is to get the homeless veteran to take the first next step. And for our purposes, it's to get them to the services that can help them right where they are.
One thing that a lot of people probably think to ask that's on the forefront of their mind is these are veterans. These are people who fought for our freedom in various situations. Why is there not a stronger way within the military system to take care of their own? When they come out?
I think they try to do their best. Years back when you were disengaged, when you separated from the service, it was basically a pat on the back and a kick in the rear end and mm-hmm. thank you for your service. They do a little bit better job now. They
okay.
they do a week-long mustering out process.
Almost like a detox period from coming home after being away for a while.
Yeah, and okay. Megan, you got to remember that as from what we've heard, just as you do by reading the paper and listening to mm-hmm. the news, that the numbers of PTSD identified early on is astronomical. You know, it almost sounds like the VA is assessing everybody as having potential PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Just to legally, you know, cover themselves. But they don't hook the separating veterans up to the services that are required.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every person who spends military time in most military situations has access to VA medical care. Right here in New Jersey, in Lyons Veterans Facility, in East Orange, and you know, outside of Newark, are some of the largest Veterans Administration hospitals in our area, and they do very, very excellent work. They're also inundated by the number of cases that they have now.
Right.
My co-founder, Roger, is a Vietnam-era vet. His PTSD didn't kick in until almost 35 years later.
He
had two master's degrees. He had a family. He was a very respected man in his community, and then he had flashbacks. He had nightmares. He couldn't sleep. He was getting heart palpitations. And I took him to the Middletown, New York VA hospital, and they wanted to put him in a facility for 180 days to observe him. And Roger took one look in there and got cold feet and mm-hmm. came back. He said, no, I can't do that. I'll never leave here. He was so panicked and so frightened by what he was seeing. That was 20 years ago. I have to fast forward the story to get to the end here. When the Obama administration came in, they recognized that there were so many Vietnam-era veterans with PTSD who were not served medically and psychologically that they need to reopen the cases that were denied. So Roger and I went back to the Middletown VA, and the psychiatrist who saw him for his second interview was the same man who denied him 20 years later. And he said to Roger, I know you. And Roger says, yeah, I know you. You're the one who told me that we didn't know that you weren't crazy before you went to Vietnam. Why should we take care of you now? That was a quote.
Wow.
So by the end of that interview, which was rather lengthy, it was 4 or 5 hours, and different people, different doctors, different psychologists, he was awarded 75% PTSD disability. That automatically put him into a review that other information needed to come forward, a couple of other medical tests and psychological tests. And within a year, Roger was awarded 100% PTSD disability by the VA. Mm-hmm. And it was retroactive until the second review began. How he knew he had gotten it, he lives in New York State. He went to the ATM to get a couple bucks out for breakfast in the morning. And he had this enormous balance on his checking account. And he said, oh, there's a mistake here. So he went into the bank, which is nearby, and showed the teller the stub. And she says, well, let me look this up for you, sir. Oh, this was a deposit from the Veterans Administration. So he knew he had got the money because they put 1 year's retroactive into his checking account just like that. So anyway, long story, but we now are aware of the problem. Mm-hmm. The numbers are only increasing. The Veterans Administration and the Army tell us that in 5 years, 1 million veterans will be separated from military service. 80% of those folks are going to be in the New Jersey and Pennsylvania area. We're gearing up for that. We just started the partnership with a homeless coalition in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, and we're going to be covering three counties just right across the Delaware River, because they're going to have a very, very significant number of returning veterans coming in. We already have been servicing Pennsylvania for about 6 months, and I would say that we average one referral a week of a veteran that has difficulties holding his or her life together in Pennsylvania.
So they're not coming to you directly. They're coming to you through another veteran that they've friended with, however they've gotten to be together, and tells you about it, and then...
Sometimes. Okay. You know, veterans and homeless veterans, or veterans even with extreme PTSD, are very much like you and I, except mm-hmm. they have that condition going on. So they go to libraries, they have computers, they have iPhones, and they do searches, and mm-hmm. they find out the organizations that are out to help them.
Okay.
We got a call from Nebraska, of all places, that there was a man living in Bergen County, and a friend of his from the Army had picked him up and housed him and called his sister. His sister hit the website, found Operation Chill Out from Nebraska, and called us to go pick up her brother in Bergen County. Mm. This is a Marine. He was separated from the Army in January of 2013. He never went home. His PTSD was so bad and he was so disoriented that when he left Fort Dix, he didn't know where he was. He was living in foxholes up and down Central Jersey.
How in the world did they let him go?
They're overwhelmed by their, quote, caseload. There are so many people leaving, separating armed services, that I never make judgment on other people's professional diagnoses or opinions. I never second guess that. All we try to do is help when we receive the referral or the phone call.
Sure.
That's what I'm concerned mm-hmm. with. Now, does the other stories make me angry? Sure.
Yeah.
Frustrated? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You want to pull your hair out sometimes? Of course. But I have to, on good faith, assume that they're doing their job the best way they know how.
Have you ever encountered a situation where you felt this person's so far gone that, you just felt uneasy with them? Or? Yeah. How do you handle things like that?
I don't like to say this publicly, because usually when you say something, it comes back to bite you in your rear end. But we've outreached services to over 10,000 people in northern New Jersey since 2013, and we've never had a serious incident against our health or mm-hmm. safety in the community. And we've been in some pretty rough places. We've been in places where the police redline and do not go.
Oh, my gosh.
We're first responders. We have several law enforcement people on our team and on our advisory board. We do safety training. We do culture training. Mm-hmm. We pretty much make ourselves very, very aware of what the situation might be before we go to it. We just have to protect ourselves as well as the clients that we're trying to bring in. Case in point, though, about danger, we got a call from a man who had met one of our Operation Chill Out veteran team coordinators when he was going for his PTSD treatments in Lyons. It was a man who was from the Vietnam era and was very, very distraught, and he had severe diabetes, and his feet were swollen, and they were treating him with morphine for the pain. He was living in a van in the back of a construction site off the turnpike in Newark. Our coordinator for veterans, Tony, gave this man his business card and said, if you ever get, you know, to your last bitter end and you need somebody to talk with or another alternative, give us a call. Middle of the night on a Sunday, this man called our coordinator and said, do you remember me? You gave me your business card at Lyons VA, you know, several weeks ago. I'm sitting here on the edge of the New Jersey Turnpike, and I think I'm going to walk into traffic. I can't take it anymore. And that was the referral. We asked him to stand down and go back to your van and give us coordinates of how to meet him, and we'll talk it over. But please don't walk out into traffic. And we did. We met him. We got him to the VA. There was a lot of red tape. It took 24 hours for him to be seen medically because he was rejected by the East Orange VA because after hours. He had to wait till Monday. We got him held up in a hotel, and we got him showered, and we got him new clothes, we got him fed. And on Monday, we started the application process again. He was diagnosed with acute, high extreme PTSD, danger to himself and others. They admitted him for observation. They gave him the medications to bring him down. And we were successful to get him right into Hunterdon County here, to Veterans Haven North. That was the old Hagedorn Geriatric Psychiatric Facility that Governor Christie closed a couple of years ago. But because of advocates voicing their another use for that that location, which was beautiful and turnkey, Governor changed his mind, and it is now a wonderful facility. We saved this man. I mean, he saved himself by calling us. But we responded, and we got him to safety, and it's a 24-month program there, as you might have heard. They can take up to 100 men. They do intense work with them. And at the end of that 24 months, they're expected to leave and be self-sustaining and independent. Mm-hmm. Now, this man we see from time to time, he's already looking at his retirement in New Mexico. He's contacted a group down there that has a little trailer community. Mm-hmm. Many of the men are veterans. The man who owns it is a veteran, and they welcomed him. They've given him the different rates for the rentals, and so he's going to be on his way at the end of next June when he goes and separates from that.
So those are great success stories that you've been able to...
There are success stories. You know, when we do our winter outreach, again, it's the same model that we did back in the year 2000, we go all to our 14 counties in dozens and dozens of locations. We're probably up to 40 or 50 separate locations and hand out backpacks filled with warm clothing. That's a success for a person to come up and take a backpack from us and a little postcard with some information on it. And then for them to call us back at some time in the future, that's a success. But we also have realized and come to understand that sometimes, regardless how good it might look on the other side, the homeless veteran is not ready to take that next step. We met a man in 2007 who was released from Greystone State Psychiatric Facility up in Morris Plains after spending 9 months in treatment. He's a Vietnam-era veteran. He had high-level PTSD. And we've only known him as a street person, as a very, very kind and gentle, very large, big Vietnam-era veteran who we meet. He knows us by name. We know him by name. And then one day I met him in Morristown on one of my runs, and he says, "Deacon Ray, come over here. I'm putting together a scrapbook for my daughter who's graduating from high school." I said, "John, I didn't know you had kids." He said, "Oh, yeah, Deacon Ray, I had three kids. I have two boys. I have one boy and two, and I had two girls." I said, "What do you mean by had?" He says, "Well, that's why I became homeless." I said, "I don't understand, John. Explain." he says, well, I had a, you know, once I got out of Vietnam, I spent some time and I did a lot of things on the West Coast, and I came back and I married and I had a house in Morris County, and I had a job, and I was with the fire department. And one night at my job, I got a notice to go to the fire department because it was a fire. And I left the job as I had permission to, and I went to the firehouse. I got in the truck. I looked on the board where the fire was, and it was an address that was really disturbing to me. And I didn't question. I was a driver, so I pulled the truck out. And here's a picture of me, Deacon Ray, with the hose with another fireman putting out the fire of my house. His wife and other daughter perished in the fire. Mm. That caused his PTSD to kick in. Mm-hmm. Immediately had a major nervous breakdown. Wound up walking the streets looking for his daughter and his wife, and was institutionalized for 9 months. And when he was declared not a risk to himself or others, he was let out from the psychiatric facility and dropped in the middle of town with no other social connections, no other service connections. And John has been on the street since 2007. And we see him, and he chooses to live, I'm using that word, not the way you and I would use mm-hmm. it, but his option for survival, the independence that he needs, the camaraderie that he needs from his small community of homeless veterans and others, is to remain on the street. It doesn't make sense to you or I,
right.
because we've never had a major psychiatric emotional breakdown and spent time in a psychiatric facility because, you know, your husband or daughter or my wife and daughter mm-hmm. was killed in a fire that I was putting out. So everybody has a unique story
sure.
of how they got to be homeless. Veterans have this double whammy because at any point in time, their combat experience can erupt into post-traumatic stress.
Mm-hmm.
And that usually is the beginning of the unraveling of
yeah.
their normal life.
Yeah. We're going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how Operation Chill Out is a partner with Rotary and the event that's coming up this weekend. So don't go away.
Our show is called In the Green Room, and we're on the air Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m.
The show is super cool.
Vinny's my trusted sidekick and associate in crime.
Let's just say I live on the wild side, bro.
Most of our guests are members of my free networking meetup, Network Lambertville. We meet once a month at Green Birdie Studios, the first Thursday of each month from 6 to 8 p.m.
You always have a great crowd and a good food, too.
That's because I always make you something special. Vegetarians are so difficult to please.
That's ridiculous. I eat just about anything, so long as it doesn't look at you.
Oh, yeah? Don't carrots live? Wait a minute, you can't change it.
Well, this is the truth.
You don't change the script.
I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah. Now you have to read the... So tune into our show on Mondays from 1 to 2 p.m. You never know what you're going to hear, but it's all good.
So true, brother. So true.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street,
Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
And welcome back to the Rotary Show. This is Megan Jones Holt with Ray in Operation Chill Out. And we just heard a really great story. In fact, I missed a commercial break. I hope I don't get my hand slapped. Thank gosh we're not under the FCC rules. But he's just telling us a little bit about the organization and some of the great things that they do. And now I'd like to kind of take the time to talk a little bit about the weekend event that we've got coming on this Saturday and basically how Operation Chill Out got involved with this.
Exactly. This coming Saturday, October 5th, at the airport outside of Manville, and that's the Central Jersey.
Yes, Central Jersey Airport.
Is going to be a wonderful family day. We're going to have music. We have a bandstand. We have a DJ. We're going to have all kinds of picnic foods, vendors, and a display from two organizations that help veterans here in New Jersey. One is Project Shoebox, mm-hmm. and that's the group that solicits and packs supplies for our active duty troops and sends them overseas. They've been doing wonderful, wonderful work all throughout the many, many years that they've been involved. And Operation Chill Out. And we're going to be there asking people to support our efforts, telling stories about what we do and how we do it, and how individuals and groups like Rotary could get involved with us. We're coming up to our winter delivery season, which will be starting actually before November. We deliver the backpacks with warm clothing to homeless veterans and others all throughout New Jersey starting the second week of December, and we usually finish around mid-February. That's how many contacts that we have. So it's going to be a wonderful day.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing there.
Well, we're going to have a tent, and we have our displays. We have many, many pictures of us on the road. We have flyers and brochures to discuss the different types of situations that we encounter and how people can help. One of the things that Rotary 7510 is planning to do is come in, and each of the chapters are going to support both groups in one way or another. One way that's the easiest is just by donating cash, mm-hmm. Bringing in a check. We will have dog tags that we'll be giving to every person who gives us any donation in any amount. We will have flyers available. We'll have other information about what we're doing. Another type of way of helping that some of the chapters are opting to do is to fill a backpack. They may mm-hmm. have five backpacks that they've identified at in their group that they're going to fill with all of the ingredients, and they're going to bring them to the event on Saturday, and we're going to truck them back, and they're going to put into storage. So when we start our delivery, we'll be that far in advance and ready to deliver.
And a lot of the audience that's going to be there will be veterans, correct?
Yes, it is, because it's a day to honor and recognize veterans and their families. Mm-hmm. So we expect that we're going to have veterans from all the service branches. We definitely know that. We've been getting calls. We get a lot of inquiries about how to get there, when it starts, what they can look forward to. It's going to be a fun day. It's not going to be a day of preaching. It's not going to be a day of sad stories. It's a day of thanksgiving and acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. And we're here to acknowledge some of the veterans who are now maybe falling through the cracks a little bit, mm-hmm. and how these two organizations can help the Project Shoebox and Operation Chill Out.
Yeah, and hopefully through this you'll get a little bit more awareness and
Our one of our mottos is bloom where you're planted. Now, that's different than a lot of other models. Sometimes a service will be available for a veteran in northern New Jersey only in one location. For example, we picked up people from Alamuchi in Sussex County and needed to bring them all the way down to Newark. It doesn't seem to make sense. Mm-hmm. So when we find veterans who are from a particular area, we advocate for their services and their needs right there. So by spreading the word and creating awareness of veterans in your community, you could be more of an advocate for their needs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Bloom where you're planted. Makes no sense to take a person from Phillipsburg to bring them down to East Orange if there's services available in between. What has happened is that there's a monopoly in a lot of these services by the federal government. So we need to change that model and make sure that the veterans can be served as close to home as practically possible.
Yeah. Your website is
OperationChillOut.org.
Simply enough. And on the website, you talk a little bit about some of the things we just talked about, your who you are, what you do, your services. Any other services you want to mention?
Well, one of the things we're doing is we like to work with professional groups. We need their advice because we're not professionals in all categories, certainly. We have some experience in the field and on the road with homeless veterans. We're an outreach organization, so we're the lowest on the totem pole of the entire continuum of care for a person. Mm-hmm. We bring them in, and then we introduce them to options of services available. One of the services that sees homeless people even more than we do are law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Police are responded to a call, an inquiry. They see people all the time. In the different communities that Operation Chill Out serves, I would say that the overwhelming majority, we have excellent relationships with police. Case in point, Passaic County Sheriff's Department is creating a protocol with Operation Chill Out on how they could better respond to homeless people, with homeless veterans in particular in mind. So we put up a special hotline number to call that will go to a special line. So when the calls come in from the Sheriff's Department or from the homeless people, the veterans that the sheriff gives a car to, we know why they're coming and where they came from.
Sure.
We like those types of local arrangements to be the model.
Yeah. And how does, with Rotary, other than this event that's happening, can Rotary clubs help?
Well, again, Rotary is comprised of professionals, very successful professionals in the business community, as well as the other communities that that we need for support. I've been working with Rotary and Operation Chill Out for a few years, and this is the first time that we become center stage with them.
Sure.
We're one of their philanthropic targets for the year, and we're very, very humbled and honored to have that designation. Members of my Operation Chill Out executive team, I have a man who is a local Hunterdon County president of Rotary. We have many members who are Rotary people.
Who is that?
That's Tom Greendike. Tom from Greendike, exactly.
Gotcha. The insurance agent up in California. Yep.
Yeah.
No, he's at the North Hunterdon Club.
There you go. And he and his wife, Rita, are wonderful volunteers for us. Rita is our logistics and supply manager, and she helps us to identify what the needs are of the veterans and in terms of clothing. You know, Megan, one of the things that we pride ourselves on is knowing the person.
Yeah.
One person, one gift. We know many of these veterans to their shoe sizes, to their waist sizes, to their shirt sizes, by name. And we target the supplies that we provide to them personally.
Yeah,
Rita's one of the people that make that happen for us, Rita Greendike.
It's great. Very great. We gotta go now. I can't believe this. I told you, time flies. But any just parting words of anything that you're looking for in particular, or I mean, we're in Hunterdon County, but we do encompass the whole district. Is there any place in special need that you would request Rotary clubs to specific that you're looking for to come out and help?
I turn it around a little bit. You know best what you can provide.
Mm-hmm.
You have talents, you have skills, you have interests, you have abilities, you have resources that I'm not aware of. Why don't you come up with an idea and share it with me? Hit our website. You could email me directly, ray@operationchillout.org or info@operationchillout.org, and it'll get to me, and I will personally respond within 24 hours to your ideas.
That's awesome. And obviously, you'll be at the event this
weekend.
So go to the Operation Chill Out's table and meet Ray and tell him you heard him on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time and coming out today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Meg. God bless.
And thank you all for listening in. Hope you learned something new today. And thank you for listening to the show and to everything that we do as an international organization. You can catch the show on our RotaryNJ.org web link. And while you're on the site, you can learn a little bit more about Rotary and where our clubs meet. This is past District Governor Megan Jones-Holt. Until next time, have a great week and make a difference in someone else's life. Stay tuned for In the Aisle with Sue. It's 11:59.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families.
Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
IRN USA News, I'm Mark Thomas. Sources say the Obama administration plans to sue North Carolina today to block newly enacted voting rules it believes violates federal civil rights law. The challenge would be the second of its kind in 3 months aimed at voting changes in a Republican-led state. In July, the Justice Department said it would sue Texas. The department's civil rights enforcers are acting after the U.S. Supreme Court in June invalidated part of the 1965 Voting Rights Act they previously relied on. Attorney General Eric Holder is expected to discuss the suit at a news conference in Washington with North Carolina-based Justice Department lawyers. The Metro North Railroad expects its New Haven line to return to half capacity.